Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. Quarantine and social distancing has been rough for all of us, but arguably it's been hardest for those who are single and live alone. The isolation has been long and worsened by the uncertainty over when it will end. Today we're joined by Tom Warburton, who has some great advice for those who are in this situation, as well as some helpful words for those of us who are married or in families about how we can support single people during lockdown. We had a little technical difficulty with recording on this one, so we ended up using audio from the Zoom call. So at times it's not amazing, but you can always hear what's being said. Enjoy the podcast and I'll catch you on the other side.
I'm Mark Bentham.
And I'm Graham Nichols.
And my name is Josh Bannister and you're listening to Ordinary. Today we have a guest on the podcast. It's the first guest we've had in quite a while, so this is quite an honour for you, Tom Warburton. Our guest is Tom Warburton. He is a member at Christ Church and a good friend of ours. Tom, why don't you say hello and maybe just give us a little bit of info about who you are and what you get up to in your life.
So I live in Haywards Heath and I work with data, particularly in the airline industry. Mm-hmm. And I quite enjoy sports, particularly swimming and football.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you, Tom?
I'm 36.
And Tom is, he won't mind me saying because it's the topic of the podcast, a single man, a bachelor. And so today we have him on the podcast because we wanted to talk about how being single worked or works, continues to work in lockdown. How there are challenges in that and just Tom's thoughts on that, how he could be, hopefully he'll be able to encourage others out there who are in a similar situation. So that's what we're talking about today. Graham and Mark, how are you guys doing?
All right, thank you. Doing all right.
Thank you. It's the frustrations of lockdown probably intensify. Have moments of getting a bit too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. But generally encouraged and interested to see what it's like for someone who hasn't got quite the same family connections at home. That's what we're looking forward to.
I think that's the important thing, isn't it, Tom, is in terms of you live on your own as well, Tom. That's the key thing as well about the lockdown in that singleness sense.
I think we've spoken about, actually, maybe we haven't quite done a podcast yet. I think we spoke about doing a podcast on the challenges of marriage in a lockdown situation. But it's also great to think about the challenges of being single. So, Graham or Mark, do you want to kick off with thoughts or a question for Tom to start us off?
Yeah, I guess just a really sort of easy question is just to say, what's your sort of practical situation? So whether you were single or married in a sense, but, you know, in terms of whether you're working, whether you're not working, kind of what do you do each day sort of thing?
So I would say that lockdown for me is kind of the same but different. So it's same in the sense that I've worked for the whole time. So you're kind of working 40 hours a week. So that's a lot of your kind of normal pattern that just continues.
And is that working from home, Tom?
Working from home, yeah. And in terms of church, all of my kind of commitments related to that keep going as well. So in terms of like youth group and also I get involved with a lot of summer camps. And those types of commitments are carried on until they were cancelled around April, so then that stopped. And then in terms of kind of what's different, I guess when everything got cancelled, then in essence, you just got a bit more free time. So you can kind of take on some new things. So in my instance, I did some major kind of infrastructure projects at home. So forget about HS2 or the third runway at Heathrow. So for me, it was all about gardening projects. So I've now become like a master expert in French drains and parquet flooring as well. So if you've got any questions on those, you're welcome to ask.
We'll do another podcast.
Wow. Ooh.
Did you say French drains?
Yeah.
Not English or Spanish, but French.
What are French drains? More smelly, less smelly?
Oh.
Deeper, shallower, different process?
So in essence, they move surface water from one place to another, but they're not actually French by nationality. It's just the person who kind of, I guess, invented it. His surname was French.
Don't tell us.
You really are an expert. I mean, that's like expert knowledge to know even where the name came from. I mean, like,
not all drains move water from one place to another. What's peculiar about a French drain? I know this is not the topic, but...
Stop having a go at French. You did a good job. Now, Tom, I would like to ask you, how has your experience of lockdown generally been? How would you characterise it firstly, in few words, and then we'll get into details. How generally have you found lockdown, being working from home and sort of living alone? How's that been?
So I would say that it's changed during the kind of the different phases. So at first, you're kind of trying to get used to just working from home on a full-time basis, which is quite unusual. And then I think after a few weeks, you really start to feel a little bit deprived of the community that you're kind of used to being around. And you just start to slowly feel a bit more isolated. And I think that for me personally, I'm quite extroverted, so I would rather be around people. But I can imagine if maybe you were introverted, that it wouldn't be such a big deal. And also for me personally, my car failed its MOT just before lockdown. So that was kind of an extra blow in terms of being completely immobile from leaving the town that I live in. And I guess another challenge as well is when lockdown started, just to how you use your free time. So I think as a single person in normal life, you would generally have lots of extra free time. You have to kind of make wise choices about how you use it. And then in lockdown, that's just kind of amplified, where you've just got more of this free time, particularly at weekends. So you just have to think through how you can best use that time, I guess, to grow as a Christian, but also to try to use it to serve for God.
Would you say you're a sociable person, which is, I mean, introvert, extrovert are really difficult terms to land, actually, because it's the sort of technical definition, which is slightly different to how we often use the words. But would you say you're sociable? And what element of social contact do you particularly miss, I suppose?
So I would say that I kind of get my energy from being around people. And I would prefer to relax with people than be on my own.
So that must have been quite a challenge in lockdown, where you're effectively now no longer going to work. So you're working from home, but everything, you haven't got the buzz of the office or the stimulation that comes from that. And then even the stuff that you do in the church, and you're quite an active guy, so you're involved in a number of the youth works, it's all through Zoom. So actually you must have had quite a significant amount of, you're just on your own the whole time. How have you kind of managed to deal with that?
So I think it's about routine. So just to think through, for me at the start of it, I guess how I can kind of adapt my routine to almost just sort of flex around these kind of new restrictions. So often I think of my free time. So I think kind of data circles, but if you think of your free time as almost like in a pie chart. So if you sort of think, well, actually, if I finish work at 6 and I go to bed at, let's say, 10:30, I've got roughly 4.5 hours to, you know, fill it as I want. So if in pre-lockdown I was filling that with around 10% of time for God, it might be actually, because of lockdown, I've got a bit more time. So maybe I could increase that to 20%. And maybe instead of just reading for, let's say, an hour and a half, I could do a 40-minute personal study and then maybe a 45-minute study with somebody else. So you're kind of trying to complement what you're doing, but just kind of flexing it more.
Yeah. Are you a process sort of person? That sounds very, it sounds good, really good, but like very, very processed time charts. Is that really how you do it? This is just how you're describing it?
I don't think I do it literally where I'd actually draw charts or anything, but it kind of helps me to have a bit of structure around the way that I live. I think it's kind of helpful to be a bit orderly. And I think also not just kind of your routine, but for me, one good thing was just to try and stay connected to people. So, and obviously as the lockdown kind of changed, you could kind of go for walks with people and, you know, and now I could go and play football with my friends in the park, which is nice, although it's non-contact. But so I think, yeah, routines in terms of just staying healthy and being able to kind of take care of yourself and just trying to look for different ways to serve. So maybe when you kind of come out of lockdown, actually you've got some new habits and new practices that you can kind of keep going.
Yeah, there's certainly been concern, I'm sure, in your industry around job losses, though, because obviously well known that the air industry is one of their most dramatically affected. So how about that in terms of dealing with the, I mean, we can be thankful. We know, and it's probably okay to say that you are still employed, and that's a really good thing we're thankful for, but lots of people probably aren't in your particular company. And how was it kind of dealing with the potential and the uncertainty around that?
So I think that when you're facing uncertainty at work, I guess you could kind of parallel it to other things in terms of learning how to trust in God through different scenarios. But you know, you could be sort of bad health, or you've got some kind of risk in a different part of your life, and you just have to learn to trust God with whether it's kind of an outcome that you want or an outcome that you don't want, and just learn how that you can, I guess, both grow in your knowledge as a Christian of how God kind of works in your life, but also try to be a good witness to others that might be going through the same thing.
I mean, what does that mean in real life terms then? So when you're sort of facing, I suppose, redundancy or the idea of it, what does it mean to trust God in that situation? What did that mean for you? Because it's easy, I guess, to say, you know, you learn to trust God more. But what does that look like when you're actually, you don't know whether you're going to have a job next week?
So I think one thing would be just to remind yourself of God's promises, and to remind yourself of how God does hear your prayers, and he does work in your life. But I think the hardest thing is that you know that as a Christian, you're not going to be spared bad things happening to you in life.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of have a good understanding as to how God can even use difficult situations in your life to still help you to grow and to become the person that Jesus wants you to become.
In terms of just build on that, Tom, because I think one of the things you and I meet up regularly, and one of the things that struck me throughout this is actually your thoughtfulness about your kind of spiritual life, particularly in lockdown. So seeing it as a chance to, you know, grow, just as you've been talking there about, you know, thinking about redundancy and how you do the spiritual. But in terms of thinking about, if, you know, I'm a single guy, girl, listening to the podcast, you know, we're 12 weeks in. You know, we're realistically, you know, life isn't going to go back straight to normal as it was, doesn't seem to be for the next 2-3 months. What are the kind of some of the things that actually you would want a single person to be really thinking about at this time? Like, what are the benefits? Now, in some ways, there may be the same benefits that have come outside of lockdown, but just kind of, you know, what would be some of the things that you've done? What are some of the things that you would want to encourage others to think about at this time?
So I would say I encourage people to really have a good routine. So to keep a really good kind of daily routine, and to really focus on having fixed times where you can study, be that on your own or with friends over Zoom or whilst walking maybe, but just to have those kind of fixed times where you can try to work through something, be it a book or a book of the Bible. And then secondly, just to have times where you kind of really connect with people. So you've kind of got fixed times every week. So I do around 3 1-to-1s at the moment every week. So that's kind of fixed times I know in my diary where I can chat to people and kind of to use the kind of the bucket analogy. So you want to try and fill your own bucket up in terms of your own, you're kind of, you've got good health and you've got good spiritual health, then that can kind of pour out into other people's lives. Yeah, and I think also just to look for different ways to serve. So it's kind of looking at maybe what's in front of you in terms of what options you have. So if you're geographically near people, maybe you can help them in some way, or go for walks with them, or just encourage them in some kind of small avenue.
Could you just expand a bit, because in case we lose the time and don't, and just specifically what you are doing? anything that you're actually reading? You mentioned studying one-to-one. What sort of age group people are you studying one-to-one with? What other contacts are you making?
Just talk us through your study bit first, and then one-to-one, because actually what you talk about step by step, the study stuff, what you're doing, because you've actually been really specific and thoughtful about this, haven't you?
So I try to mix it up every couple of weeks just to kind of keep it fresh, but in essence I would do something for myself. So at the moment I'm doing Keller's Proverbs daily study, and then in the evening I do is it Everyday Church? And then I also try to kind of study what I'm doing in the one-to-ones. So rather than just studying something completely random, then studying something random with other people, I try and kind of complement that by sort of doing almost more reading about what I'm doing in the one-to-one. So that means when you're doing a one-to-one, you're just a little bit more knowledgeable. And maybe it's just a bit more helpful to have more subject knowledge.
So you've been intentionally reading the Bible in the morning a little bit more intentionally than maybe you would do outside of lockdown, increase that. But you've also started to say, right, I'm going to read certain books. So at the moment you've read Chester a bit. I also know you've read commentaries on certain books of the Bible. In other words, you've kind of set yourself like a little reading list challenge, haven't you, in terms of what you're doing, a little plan to grow it. Have you decided about certain areas or just things you've always wanted to think about, or have you kind of just, what's taking your fancy at the time?
Yeah, so another thing I've done as well is to try to think through which parts of the Bible that I know the least, and then to try to read a commentary, not like a really in-depth one, but like maybe a medium grade commentary on those books, just so you've got a bit more knowledge and you can kind of plug those holes in your knowledge of the Bible storyline.
Yeah. And how you found doing that? Has that been helpful, encouraging, hard work, enjoyable?
So I think it's really helpful. I think the difficulty is that you want to be able to talk about it with somebody. So the benefit of the one-to-ones is that you can kind of chat those things through, but you haven't really got time to sort of study a commentary together. So I think it's helpful to take notes. So you have some kind of log of maybe particular things that you thought about, and you could then pray about those things as well and just think about how they kind of apply to your life.
And you've also started journaling in this period. This is a whole new thing for you. How's that gone? How's that been?
So
have you found the benefit of?
Well, I've heard lots of people doing journaling before, and I was a bit like, oh, fine. And I thought I'd give it a go. And I started journaling probably a few weeks into lockdown. And in essence, it's just kind of helpful just to kind of log maybe what you're thinking about. And I think, is it the American Army that used the acronym to, is it KISS, K-I-S-S, yeah, where you, in terms of your journaling, if you think about the KISS in terms of K being keep doing something. So what are you doing every day that you sort of think is going really well and you want to keep doing? Where could you invest more of your time as I? And then S, and S is kind of what can you start doing and what can you stop doing? And then what you can do is if you do that kind of KISS model, be it once a week, once a day, whenever, once a month, you just start to kind of keep a track as to how your Christian life is going and where maybe you can work on things and where you need to kind of pray more about, and just try to use the time that you've been given to try to work on those things.
Yeah, the US Army's keep improved, but yeah, invest will work.
Do you write down feeling stuff in the journal? It's not that I'm going to come around your house and try and find it.
But, do you do little drawings as well?
Because obviously they can be more diary based, or they can be more what I've learned based, or they could be what I feel based. Those are three different sort of areas.
Yeah, so maybe by character it's more objective, I would say, than feeling-based. But I can imagine some people maybe would do more feeling-based.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you should put the odd feeling in, you know. Or maybe just put an emoji in just to give it a little bit of a different flavour.
Bruno's emotions.
It sounds really good. I had just a question about one-to-ones, because you mentioned them in passing. Mark says like he has a map, so I'm sorry if I've just gone off route again.
No, I don't know. I'm just, you know.
One-to-ones, not the who, but kind of what kind of people are you talking to and what do you actually do?
So I am doing kind of a range of one-to-ones with kind of different people. So I've got one one-to-one that's been going for a while, for a couple of years, so I've kept that one going. I did do a one-to-one regularly with a more elderly gentleman, but then he sadly passed away. And then I also have been doing one-to-ones, particularly since lockdown, with some of the youth in our youth group, where we're trying to kind of encourage them just to study in their own time and to either work through a book of the Bible or to work through maybe a particular more challenging book, depending on where they're at in their kind of spiritual journey.
Right. And are you doing any with your peers as well?
Yeah. So one with my peer and then one also with Mark as well.
Yeah, sure. And
it's a long list.
Just to give an idea, you know, about an hour, is it, those sort of typically?
Yeah, so I'd say with the youth, typically we try to limit it to about 40 minutes. It's not too long. And then with my peers, it's typically about an hour, I'd say.
Right. And so you do a bit of study, a bit of sharing how it's going, or do you go straight in study? And
so it might be a bit of a catch up and then try to kind of do the study, else you can just kind of chat for an hour and then you haven't really got anywhere. So yes, so intentionally try to do at least, I'd say, 45 minutes of study. And then you could, particularly, I think it's good to think about how what you've studied actually applies to your life, and then try to kind of pray about that at the end.
Yeah.
You've done a great job discipling me. It's been good.
Has he? I didn't realize.
That's really one-to-one. It's really helped me out.
Hey, Tom, everything you're saying is just like really helpful and super inspiring, I feel like, because clearly you've been really intentional, which I think is amazing. What do you say to somebody who is perhaps different in their temperament and is not so structured and hasn't necessarily got themselves into good routines right now? They might listen to this podcast and think, whoa, that's so much stuff. I don't even know where to start. Like, how would you encourage somebody who's kind of not, who's struggling, let's be honest, who's struggling in lockdown with isolation and with not having a good routine of the kinds of things that we're talking about? Where should they, like, what would be the most, what would be the thing you'd encourage them to do most? Like, what's the priority on that list? Something that you think could really change their outlook on their lockdown single life?
So I would say start in small ways, but maybe first of all, try to get a really good structure in your kind of weekly pattern. And then secondly, to think about who you've got around you or who's in front of you that you could try to maybe study the Bible with. And in terms of kind of what you study, I mean, there's obviously a huge a range of kind of opportunities out there in terms of books or just books in the Bible. But I would maybe say something that you're interested in, or something you don't know that much about and you want to learn more about. So you could try and study that and then just kind of see where it goes.
Yeah. What about for people in the church who are not single? Like, how do you think the church is doing in caring for people who are single? What would be your encouragement to people who are kind of married or whatever, or in families? How could they reach out or support people? And I don't want it to sound patronizing, like, you know, we need to like wrap you up in a blanket and stuff like that. But like, do you have thoughts on that? Like, how the church is doing and what people could be doing better?
Yeah. Well, I think personally, I feel like it is my responsibility. I can't sort of put it on the church to help me for everything. But in terms of kind of being proactive, if you were married, I guess you could just think about if there was somebody near you that was single, and maybe what could you do to kind of just engage with them? Like, I think it's okay just to do a text or something. But I would say, for me, being a bit more extrovert, I would actually rather meet up in person. So what I try to do is maybe twice or three times a week go for walks with people.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a good way to connect with people and to catch up in person, because it's just a lot more fun than just having like a Zoom call or something.
For sure.
I think one of the things that we're trying to encourage, or starting to encourage the church now that the rules have changed, is for those who are living on their own, single, and where they don't have particularly family nearby, to encourage families in the church to kind of adopt, so they become those two household bubbles. So it may just be that single person that at least has a family that they go around and hang out with once a week, twice a week, whatever, at this time. Now, that's not going to be true, because everyone's situation is different. There's going to be those who are single, but they've got their family living nearby. They're going to go and live with them. Or for the older people as well, the older folks, they're going to go and visit their grandkids. But for those who would, that would be an option that we're trying to encourage in the life of the church.
It sounds, you know, a bit like Josh was saying, it sounds really good, and it is really good. It's not like it sounds good. It is really good, you know, what you've done. But did you have moments of either just regretting lockdown or regretting being single in lockdown?
So I think for me, I quite like getting out and about. So I think it was really hard at the start when my car failed and it failed its MOT and I had to get rid of it. So, because that kind of meant I was like probably stuck at home. So I think that you just kind of learn to adapt. And I think because work was so busy, I never really felt particularly sad about the situation. I think you just sort of think, oh, what, you know, what can I do now? And thankfully, one of my friends lent me their PlayStation. So I've suddenly got into the gaming a little bit, which is actually quite fun. I know you've done podcasts and gaming, and it's quite a fun way to sort of socially connect with people during lockdown. So I think that you just, for me personally, I never got that down about it. You just kind of adapt and just sort of think, well, I can't do that, so I need to do this in a different way.
Come to the end.
Yeah, I have one more question, unless you guys have anything else.
No, it's good.
Right. Okay, well, I was thinking, you've done an awful lot of reading, it sounds like. Would you give us your top recommendation? There's still time left in lockdown for people to be picking up new books and reading stuff. What is the best thing, the most impactful thing that you've read or that you would like to recommend to the ordinary listeners?
Well, I've done a book called Lies Men Believe and the Truth That Sets You Free. Mm-hmm. And I think there is a female version from the author's wife. And okay. I believe that one came first, actually. Anyway, and I've done that with a few guys now, and it seems like a really good book to cover. So I would definitely recommend that one for a one-to-one study.
Great.
And just for your own self. It's a really good book just to read on your own. Yeah,
we actually did a podcast on it. So if you look back in the archives, you'll find a podcast on it from a while ago.
Perfect. So you can read the book, listen to the podcast. You'll be right as rain.
And is there a book of the Bible that you didn't know very well, but you know a bit better, and would like to recommend a book of the Bible?
At the start of lockdown, I actually read a commentary on Proverbs, and then I'll be studying that on Sunday evening. So I found that to be quite helpful. It was a preaching the word.
Ray Oland.
All right.
Really helpful.
Wikipedia mark over there.
There we go. Do you know, Tom, it's been super encouraging though, to hear this morning, just because I think, actually embracing lockdown in such a way, but not just embracing it in terms of just kind of just building projects that kind of make, you know, you're using it in that way, but also thinking really intentionally about your own spiritual life. So how you can grow, but how you can invest in others in this time. And so it's been really encouraging to hear you do that. So thank you for sharing that with us. And hopefully that will encourage others to think about how they can do that in their own lives, whether that's, you know, not necessarily in exactly the same way, but thinking about how they're investing themselves spiritually and investing in others. Is a great way to be using lockdown in a wise and prudent manner.
Indeed. And if you'd like to ask Tom a specific question, that would be fine. I'm sure you could direct it to our email address, be it a question about singleness or, I don't know, one-to-ones or parquet flooring, French drains. He knows the thing or two, this guy. Then email us, ordinary@cch.org.uk. We can pass stuff on to Tom if you'd like to get in contact with him. Feel free to get in touch.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Join us again next week. We're going to be thinking specifically about marriages in the lockdown context.